Hello, thank you for joining the Camden First Assembly broadcast. We are so excited to share the Word of God with you today, believing that this Word is exactly what He has for your life. So, stay tuned for today's message, and as always, remember, there's a place for you at Camden First Assembly.
As we were singing that second song, I love that second verse. We sang it a few times this morning. We'll probably sing it again. It talks about David, and it talks about the courage that God gave David, and it talks about how we may not face Goliath, but we have our own giants. How many of you have your own giants? How many of you can just be real in church? Well, not as many hands went up that time. Tell your neighbor, get real.
Get real.
Get real. Tell him again. Encourage him again. Tell him, get real. No, you didn't. You did that half-hearted. We don't have to, I told you we don't have time for half-hearted. Okay? Tell your neighbor, get real.
Get real.
Get real. Everybody's got problems.
Amen.
And if you don't have problems right now, I'm not trying to rain on your parade, but I'm just letting you know you're going to have problems. Because life is full of problems. That's Jesus. That's the Word. You know, We get in these moments and these times where we feel like it's one thing after the next. The reason that it's one thing after the next is because it is one thing after the next, and it's going to be one thing after the next until the trumpet sounds or God calls us home. But how we react and how we respond doesn't have to be the same old way. It doesn't have to be the way the rest of the world does. The way that we react and the way that we respond can be totally different because we have Jesus and we have the Word of God. So when we realize that everybody's got problems and nobody's perfect, nobody. I'm not perfect. The person beside you ain't perfect. Some of y'all are like, I know they ain't perfect. I had their number a long time ago. I'm married to that one, or I raised that one, or I know they're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Jesus was the only one who was perfect, and He's the only one who is perfect. And the only way that you and I experience the things that He talks about in the Word is because of His sacrifice that He made on the cross for our sins, and His perfection provided for us righteousness that we might be saved and experience the supernatural life that God has called us to. It's what helps us when we face the giants, when we face the impossibilities that are in front of us. But the thing that's so essential and the thing that's so key to this, and Lord, I'm begging you to let me preach this message, is that we have to believe it. Tell your neighbor, you got to believe. You have to believe. If you do not believe, you will find yourself in the same place again and again with every giant and every problem and every situation and every circumstance that you face. Well, Connor, I feel like I'm losing. I've been there. I know what that feels like. But friends, I'm here to tell you today that your feelings are not your Savior and your Lord. Your feelings are not the ones that have the final authority and the final say over your life. I'm not saying pretend that your feelings aren't there. I'm saying take your feelings to the Savior and the Lord of your life as a child of God and say, Lord, here's where I'm at. Here's where my heart is. Here are the thoughts that are in my mind. Here's the difficulty that I'm facing. Here's the struggle that I'm up against. And heaven, I need you to help me. God, I need my eyes fixed on you. I need the revelation that you have for me today. Because God, I need to respond according to your word and not according to my flesh. So Lord, heal what I feel and let me walk in the power and the anointing that you've called me to as a child of God. Because friends, this life is but a vapor. We're here today and gone tomorrow, but we have a heavenly hope and a future with Him, and I want to take everybody that I can with me. I want to take everybody that I can with me. I want them to know that there is a place where there is no more sickness and disease, where there is no more sorrow and pain, where there is no more loss, where there is no more death, where there's victory and hope everlasting, forever, eternally with the King of Kings. But we got to believe it. One of the biggest things that we have faced in the church, in America especially, is the challenge of what we believe. Do I believe that God is who He says He is and that He'll do what He'll say He will do? And when we're faced with the giants that are in front of us and the trials and the tribulations that we face, the enemy challenges us on that. He challenges us on what we believe, on our faith, on our trust, on our confidence in the Lord. And I'm telling you today, the Holy Spirit has stirred my heart to say, believe, believe, believe in me. Believe in me. I'm not preaching that message today. Maybe next week. We'll see. I want to read this passage of scripture. Guys, I'm if in the back. I'm not sure who's back there. Rico, is that you? Hi, Rico. I've messed you up the last 2 weeks, buddy. I'm really sorry. I'm going to James chapter 5. If you got your Bibles or your phone and your Bible app, you can turn there with me in verse number 13. I read this Wednesday night. I read this Wednesday night at our Wednesday night service and our prayer meetings. Hey, listen, real quick while you're turning to James chapter 5. If at all possible on Wednesdays, I want you here. If at all possible on Wednesdays, I want you to come. You may not have been to Wednesday nights in years at CFA, but I'm telling you, the Lord has put something on my heart for us as a church to be doing on Wednesday nights at 6:30, and I want every single one of you to be a part of it. We are praying. We are praying the word. There are some strategic things that God's going to have us praying over together. It's not your typical thoughts of what a prayer service is, where everybody finds a corner and stays there for 45 minutes and then comes back. There are some strategic things that we're praying about that we're going through. I'm sharing the word, and then we're praying that out. And I'm asking you as your pastor to come. If you don't get off work until 6:30, I don't care. Come. Come late. I'm fine with you coming late. I'd rather you be here in that time of prayer that we have together, okay? As much as possible. Now, here's the deal. I'm not putting any undue pressure on you. You pray about it and ask the Lord. But I wanted you to do it in my heart and what I'm asking. I want you to come. I want you to be here. I don't believe that you have to come to church on Wednesday night to make it to heaven. Okay? I just want to throw that out there. All right? I don't think you have to come to church on Wednesday night to make it to heaven. But if we can come together as the family of God as often as we can and seek the face of the Lord together and experience heaven on earth, why not? Amen. We agree our world needs more prayer. Yeah. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We believe that prayer changes things. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
That's right.
Okay. I'm going back up here. It got quiet down there. We believe prayer changes things.
Amen.
Amen? So when we come together and we pray, things happen. Check this out. James chapter 5, verse number 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayers of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Let me tell you something, church. When we pray, the prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You know what the enemy challenges you and I on is that when we pray that heaven's not listening. That when we pray, things aren't changing. Well, Connor, I've prayed and I'm not seeing a change. Here's the deal. What happens when you and I pray is that we surrender whatever it is that we're praying to the Lord. So when we pray and we continue to pray and we continue to operate in the way that God has called us to, when we're walking that out according to the Word of God, what happens when we pray is that we believe that God is working, that God is moving according to what His Word says. Right? So he goes on. He says after this in verse number 17, he says, Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Please don't pray that. We need rain, okay? And we need snow. Yeah, we do need to pray for that. All right, then he prayed again, and the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away, oh, no, I'm done. All right. I mean, we'll talk about that next time. But what happens when you and I pray is that there's a shift that begins to happen. I talked about this Wednesday night. I said, you know, Elijah, when he prayed, the Lord gave me this at the end of our prayer service Wednesday night, our service. And you get scared as a pastor to call it a prayer service because nobody comes. Did he say that? I did. Yes, I did. I'm being honest. We're being real, right? Tell your neighbor, be real. Pastor, that's too real. I don't like it. Okay, well, all right. I was being honest with you. What happens is that when we pray and we begin to pray, if we don't believe what it is that we're praying for, we stop praying. We stop praying. If we don't see immediate results, we stop praying. Elijah prayed that there would be no rain, and for 3.5 years there was no rain. And then, I love this in James chapter 5, because it says, and then he prayed again, and drops of rain began to fall from heaven. But the first time that he prayed for rain to fall again, it didn't fall. I don't know if there was a clog in the rain systems of heaven that had to be worked out, because it hadn't run for 3.5 years, and the Lord had the angels working on it, but Elijah, what? He kept sending his servant back. We read this in the Old Testament. He kept sending his servant back to look and to see, look and to see, is there rain? Is there rain? Is there rain on the horizon? He prayed again and again and again and again and again, and there was still no rain. So he prayed again, and there was still no rain. How many times when you and I pray and we believe and nothing happens, do we stop praying? How many times? And then how many times do we stop praying with the same faith and confidence that we once had because we didn't see an immediate result? What happens when you and I believe as believers and pray is that there's a shift in the way that we begin to approach and the way that we begin to handle and the way that we begin to respond to different things, because the Holy Spirit within us strengthens us and reminds us of what God's Word says. So we begin to pray, and we begin to pray with the confidence of heaven according to what the Word of God says, and there's a shift in the way that we pray because we're no longer just praying words or what we think might be the right words or what might be the right way for God to hear what it is that we're going to say. You know, too many times the enemy wants to play on the way that we pray. Well, I don't pray like Pastor does. I don't pray like Austin or Haley or Brother Sean when he's praying or when. And we want to take all these people and we want to begin to compare and say, well, I don't pray like them. God's not looking for you and I to pray like somebody else, because God didn't call you and I to be somebody else. You and I were created in His image, fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you, designed you, created you and I the way that we are. So we're going to pray differently. And man, I'm glad that God made us different. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad that God made us different. I'm glad that God made us unique, because there are perspectives that you have and perspectives that I have that are different because of the different places that we've been and the different experiences that we've had and the different circumstances we've gone through and the different situations. So God gives you and I strategic ways to begin to pray, because praying is the way that we fight against the darkness of this world. Yeah. This world is full of darkness and full of hopelessness and full of despair and every attempt of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. And the Word tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So it does me no good to argue with somebody in this world about what's sin or what's not, what's right or what's wrong, if I am not praying on my face before the Lord and asking for heaven to work and for heaven to move and for heaven to orchestrate the transformation and the change that's needed. Because it's only the Holy Spirit who convicts and reproves the world of sin. God didn't call you and I to convict and reprove the world of sin. We can tell people they're wrong all day long. And it feels good when you tell someone they're wrong. Doesn't it? When you're right and the other person's wrong. You ever been excited when you're right and you know the other person's wrong?
Yes.
We're being real this morning, right? We said we were being real. That's right, right? We said we're being real. That's what I heard. Okay? How many of you, it's ever felt good when you've been right and the other person's been wrong? Yeah. And those of you that didn't lift your hands, you're either wrong all the time or you're lying in church. One of the two. And we'll never know. Only the Holy Ghost will. Right? You know what I'm talking about. When you're in an argument with somebody and y'all are going back and forth and you tell them, check it. Check it. Go find out. Google it. Go down and look. Whatever it is, you find out. And you're right. Man, you... I'm right, you're wrong. Feels good. If you're like me, you're not right very often, so it feels great. And we have those moments. Why? What is that? Self-righteousness. I'm right, you're wrong. And it's the trap that the enemy gets the church in, so that when we're in the world and not being of it, and we can tell other people, well, you're wrong and I'm right, because it's what the Bible says, be careful. Because at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit's the only one that's called to convict and reprove the world of sin. So unless the Lord has sent you to deliver a message to someone, be careful on that, because what happens if you're not is that you begin to walk in self-righteousness, and it's the same as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious rulers of Jesus' day, and those were the ones that he couldn't stand. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to walk in that. I don't want to have that attitude. If someone's wrong, what I want to do is pray for them. If I see what the Word reveals, what the Holy Spirit shows, not I'm in the right and they're in the wrong, but I want to pray for them that if they are out of alignment with the Word, that the Holy Spirit would pour out His love in their life, and that God would move and that He would minister to their life, and that God would bring a transformation in their heart, and that there would be a salvation, there would be a repentance, that there would be a shift that would take place that would begin to open the doors of heaven. So the enemy fights us, because prayer is one of the key essential elements to our relationship and our walk with God, and to seeing the kingdom of heaven invade the earth. And so if we're not praying, we're not experiencing the outpouring of God's glory and His presence in our lives, and we're not experiencing the move and the power of the Holy Spirit in the way that God has intended and His purpose for us. So when we pray and we realize that our prayers are powerful and effective, that they have power, that they produce wonderful results, there's a shift that begins to happen. Miss Jean, can I share the prayer request we talked about this last Wednesday? Is that okay? Okay. She says, well, it is now. You talked about it. You can straighten me out after service, okay? She said, we prayed a week. It'll be 2 weeks ago this Wednesday. We prayed. Miss Jean had to go in. There was a recall on a hip replacement that she had done. There was a recall on that. And so they've been having to go in and do another hip replacement to replace those parts. And so they've been having to check to make sure that things are in right working order, because there have been those that have had to go in and have those replaced. So we were praying that Miss Jean, if you know Miss Jean and you know her story, she's walked through lots of different things. She's had several battles. We've prayed and believed in faith for the Lord to work. The last thing she needed was another surgery. So we prayed. We prayed last Wednesday, Wednesday night a week ago. We prayed and we asked the Lord that when she went to her appointment the following Monday, that she would receive a good report, that hip would be in perfect working order, that there'd be zero complications. How cool would it have been if God would have just taken the hip replacement part out and just put a new hip in there? Wouldn't that have been awesome? Some of you are like, Connor, Pastor, He does it. He does it. Do you believe it? He does it. So that's what I was praying for. I don't know what they found, but other than that they found that there was no issues at all, and she didn't have to have any surgery. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that awesome? No surgery. We had a few more that we shared in that, and we've got others that we're praying for, but we're praying and we're believing in faith because we believe in what God's Word said. We believe in what God's Word declares, and we're holding on to that, and we're praying with that faith. We're praying with that confidence. I love this in John chapter 15. I'm going to read one verse from this. We read this a couple weeks ago. We're talking about in John chapter 15 where Jesus talks about how He is the true vine. But he makes this declaration. He makes this declaration in verse number 16. He says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." And he goes into the next verse. I'm throwing this one in for bonuses. "This is my command, love each other. Tell your neighbor, I love you." Some of you are like, Pastor, that is weird. I don't even know this person next to me. I love it. Well, the reason why I had you do that is because that's what God calls you and I to do. The stranger on the road, God calls you and I to love them. He calls you and I to love them. Whether you and I think they're worthy and deserving of love or not, He calls you and I to love them. And so if in the church we can't tell each other that we love each other, we got a problem. We got a problem. And here's the deal. Let me just say this about love real quick. Let me just say this about love. Loving people is not easy. Some of y'all are like, tell me about it. I almost killed one of my family members on the way to church this morning. That's called getting real. Right? Loving is not easy. Jesus never said anywhere in here that loving would be easy. Now, it's easy to tell somebody you love them. It's a whole other thing to love them. To love them. Why? Because to love someone requires sacrifice. It requires sacrifice. Any parent in the room, you know that. Any spouse in the room that you have a healthy marriage, you know that. It requires sacrifice. It does. Because to love someone means to put my preference, my will, my desires second or third or fourth or last for those that God has called me to love, for those that God has called me to. And here's the deal. If you're not loving people, it's a problem. It's a problem. Because love is the foundation for everything that God has built and established, because he is love. In fact, he says it this way in 1 John chapter 4, if you don't love, you don't know God, because God is love. That's the word. So if we're not loving, then we're robbing ourselves of the fellowship and the relationship of what God has called us to. Now hear me out. I'm not saying that love means that there aren't boundaries and that there aren't healthy things that are set in place. But in that, have we taken offense in our hearts towards the people that God has called us to love, and therefore begun building a wall between us and the Holy Spirit and the revelation that God has with us? And if we have, we need to give that to the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit, how do I love this person the way that you've called me to love them? How do I love them according to what your word says? How do I walk in the righteousness that you've purposed, that you've established for my life? Okay, now go with me to 1 Samuel. Are you with me? Do you feel love this morning? Don't ever let anything that I share come across in any way other than I love you and I'm sharing what the Holy Spirit, what the word of God has placed in this, because I love you guys. Y'all are awesome. We're blessed with an incredible church. The Lord is good. He is wonderful. But I want to share everything that the Holy Spirit impresses and that he lays upon my heart. So if you ever have a question about that, come find me, okay? If I say something that offends you or upsets you, you come find me, okay? Deal? That's what the Bible says to do. Somebody offends you, you go to them, not to everybody else. Don't let somebody else come tell me that you're mad at me, because I'll come find you. I'll say, hey, listen, I don't know that they want me to tell you, but they told me that you were upset, and you and I got to talk. Because it doesn't matter what somebody else said. It matters what you said. And if you and I got a problem, we're going to talk about it, because God's called us to love each other and walk this thing out together. I figure we might as well get it taken care of this side of heaven, because if not, we're going to have a long talk by that river of life on the other side of heaven. We're going to sit there until we get it all figured out. It might not let us in. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I got to get new glasses. I think it's 41, Rico. 1 Samuel 17:41. Goliath walked out toward David. This is the revelation I want to share, and then we're going to walk this out. I'm going to go real fast, so stick with me. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? He had no idea what was coming. And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Think about that for just a second. Today, the Lord, not I, today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Here's what the Holy Spirit said to me, and I tie in James 5, I tie in the verse from John chapter 15, and I tie in this because the Lord dropped all of them into my heart at the same time. There is something powerful that happens in our life as believers when we realize that the giants that are standing in front of us have not defiled us, but the Lord. Just let that sink in. Just let that marinate in your spirit for just a moment. I said that when the giants that are standing in front of you, the giants that are standing in front of us, have not defiled us, they've defiled the Lord. The giants that I'm facing today are not defiling me. They're defiling the Lord. See, this is what happens when the enemy gets you and I to take our eyes off of heaven and to stop praying and believing the way that God has called us to as His church and as believers, is that we begin to act like the rest of the Israelites, that when Goliath comes out, when the giant stands up, when the giants are in front of us, we want to run and hide. I've been there. I've been one of the Israelites that's seen the giant and said, okay, you're big. That's scary, right? We're just being real today. We've been there. Or that we've prayed, Lord, just keep the giant on that side of the valley. God, just keep the giant over there. God, just keep my problem over there. I know it's a problem, and I know it's got to be dealt with, but Lord, send somebody to deal with it. That's my favorite prayer I like to pray. Lord, I don't know how you're going to take care of this, but send them. Send the David, Lord. Send the David. Where's David? Anybody got a David around? Send him. Right? Right? You ever been there? You're waiting. Lord, I don't know how you're going to take care of this. Take care of it. And the Lord doesn't answer. He doesn't respond. Do you know why? Because he's saying, I did. I sent you. You're there. I placed you there. I called you. I created you. I placed you for this moment, for this time, for such a time as this. You were created. You were born. Why? Because we are not on our own. We are not living for ourselves. As believers who pray, as believers who stand on the Word of God, what happens is that when we walk onto the battlefields of our life, when we walk onto the battlefields of our world, and we have giants that are facing us, we're no longer looking at them. We're no longer looking at those situations. We're no longer looking at those circumstances of, as I have been invaded, I have been threatened, I have been attacked, I have been this, I have been that, but saying, you have crossed the barriers, the borders that God has established for my life. You've stepped over what the Lord says about His people. You've stepped over what the Word of God says about those who are sons and daughters of God, those who are children of God. You have violated not me, but the Lord. And so this giant that's in front of me, these problems that are in front of me, these difficulties that I'm facing, because you have violated that, today God's going to take care of you. And He sent me here to be an instrument, but it's not I who will defeat you, it's the Lord. And what happens when you and I begin praying, and what happens when you and I begin responding according to that way, and we begin making that declaration, is just like David said, this battle is not mine, it belongs to the Lord. And it takes the pressure and the fear off and gives you and I the courage to stand up and to declare what God's Word says, what God's purpose is, what God has spoken, and what God has said about our giant, what God has said about our situation. David was the one that came in, not the king, not the generals, not the captains of the armies, not the fighting men that were there, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sent the shepherd boy who he had anointed to be king to come in, and he was the only one that had God's perspective on the situation. Why? Because it's so easy for us to have a natural or worldly perspective. Because the enemy does not want you and I to believe that God is who He says He is and that He'll do what He said He would do. He did not want any of those Israelites to remember that God was the one who brought them out of slavery in Egypt and gave them the land that they now lived in, the land that they now occupied, that God provided manna in the wilderness and water from a rock and manna again and again from heaven, that God helped them to defeat armies that were far larger and far more capable and far more outmaneuverable than them. He the enemy didn't want them to remember that God was the one that caused the walls of Jericho to fall, that God was the one who provided, that God was the one who worked, that God was the one who moved. I promise you, when you and I are facing giants, the last thing that the enemy wants you and I to be thinking about is what God's word says and God's faithfulness and God's goodness in our life. Because if he can get you and I to take our eyes and our focus off of that, we will back away from the giants instead of standing our ground as God has called us to. And friends, I'm here to tell you today, in 2023, in this day, in this year of our Lord, it is time for the church of Jesus Christ to stand up to the giants that we are facing and the struggles that we are up against and declare, this battle is not yours, this battle is not mine, this battle belongs to the Lord, and you have defied what his word says. You have gone against what his word has declared. So the weapons that God has given me to fight with may not be a slingshot with David, but I can fast and I can pray and I can serve and I can give and I can go and I can tell and I can continue to be obedient in every area and every circumstance that God has called me to. And I'll watch as God knocks one giant after the next down, and as the strongholds of the enemy begin to shatter and the lost begin to walk in to the kingdom of God. Why? Because God's word never fails. What may seem impossible is possible with my God. He will heal and restore and redeem and renew, and he will strengthen you and I until the day he calls us home. It's time for some giants to fall. I'm tired of the church settling for the giants in front of us. I'm tired of it. I loved that word that God gave Haley to preach several weeks ago. Enough of saying it is what it is. My Bible doesn't say anywhere that it is what it is. It doesn't say anywhere that it is what it is. I won't stop praying and I won't stop believing until God calls me home. I won't. I refuse. I refuse. Why? 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 Because his word says. Because his word says, I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care what the rest of the world says. I don't care what anybody else's opinion is. I don't care what the news says, the doctor's report is, what the bank says. I don't care about any of it. If God said it and he's for it, then who can be against me? That's what his word says. So I'm going to believe and I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And you know what? The enemy's going to fight. The enemy's going to come against. But I'm just going to take the slingshots of the word of God and of prayer, and I'm going to keep on one right after the next, and I'm going to continue to declare that my God is good and he is faithful and I am his, and you can't have me. There's nothing you can do to this body. There's nothing that you can do to this life that my God can't turn completely around and use for his glory and use for his goodness. So I'll continue on, and even if I die, so be it. I'll spend eternity at the feet of Jesus declaring, you are good. 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 You are good forevermore. I'm not minimizing what you've been through. I'm not minimizing the trauma that you've walked through, the battles that you face and the struggles that you've been up against. Hear me this morning. Hear me and hear the heart of God. The Lord knows better than I do, better than anyone else who's walked with you, the things that you have endured and the things that you have walked through. And God does not take those lightly. If you need any more assurance of that, go with Jesus to when he went back to visit Lazarus' sisters after he had died. God never minimizes the pain or the trauma that we walk through. But the Lord will always hold the enemy accountable for what he's done. And when listen to me, I'm telling you, the Lord will heal and the Lord will redeem and the Lord will restore. And not all of it's going to be on this side of heaven. Not all of it's going to be on this side of heaven. And I got news for you. It's not fair. It's not. But when our trust is in the Lord and when our belief is fully founded on him, you just wait till you step into eternity with heaven, in heaven with Jesus, and you watch what the Lord does. The things that you and I suffer and that you and I lose and that you and I walk through and that we face on this side of heaven, God, nobody takes better records than Him. Amen. He knows the number of hair that are on your head right now. He knows all the ones you lost in the shower this morning or last night, or if you only shower once a week, whenever that was. I could have left that out, yeah. Shower. I believe in showers. Take a shower. Listen, one of the hardest parts about everything that I walked through the last 3 months was not being able to take a shower every day. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. Thank God for dry shampoo. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You ladies are like, that's been around a while, Pastor. I didn't know. It was a whole new world. I was glad to look like I hadn't been laid up in the bed for a week. God keeps perfect records, and He knows what you've lost for the sake of Christ and being obedient to Jesus. Because let me tell you, friends, if you're obedient, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Well, Pastor, that's not very encouraging. Oh, but it should be. Because again and again and again, Jesus says, and again in the New Testament, it says, that if we suffer for the cause of Christ, what glorious honor and privilege because of how our Christ suffered for us. And the rewards that God has for those who serve Him, who follow after Him in obedience to Him, on that side of eternity, won't even begin to compare to what we have felt and what we have endured this side of heaven. As believers, we're not living for this side of eternity. We're living for that side. And so while we're still here, we're knocking giants down one right after the next and telling everyone we can about the love of Jesus.